John chapter 14, and I'm reading the verses 15 to 27. The editors of the NIV have given this section the title, Jesus Promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Amen. Over to you, Reuben.
Thanks, Jack. Well, I think most of us would agree that we currently live in a time and a place where we are more comfortable than almost ever before. The comfort of a warm meal, meat, veggies, delicious spices, and then a dishwasher to help clean up the mess afterwards. The comfort of a nice cup of coffee, espresso, and whatever sweet treat you fancy from the many aisles in the supermarket. The comfort of a couch and a good TV show and a friend to watch it with. The comfort of curling up in bed on a memory foam mattress with walls and a roof, cocooned in safety. The comfort of heating in winter, air conditioning in summer, a hot shower every morning. The comfort of the warm embrace of a spouse or a child. We have so much comfort in our lives, don't we? And yet, in spite of all these comforts, there is a deeper type of comfort that can still be hard to find. How do we find comfort when all those other comforts are taken away? When it's Christmas time and we don't have our loved ones with us anymore? When the repetitive grind of life wears us down? When our repeated failures and faults sicken us? When one of our friends or our family members are suffering and we just don't know how to help them? Or when we find ourselves facing death, perhaps at a much younger age than we expected? Even in comfortable Australia, comfort isn't so easy to find, is it? Am I the only one who finds myself sitting on my comfy couch, struggling to calm the turmoil in my mind, in my heart? As Christmas approaches, I wonder if any of those things being advertised in the shops right now, I wonder if they can really help us with our worries and our hurts and our anxieties and our shame. Where can we find true comfort, true help? That's what we want to think about as we continue our study of the Apostles' Creed, and particularly consider what it means to say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Such a simple sentence. And yet it contains within it the sweetest, most enduring comfort that we could ever hope to find. Jack just read from John 14, where Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. That word could be translated comforter or helper. He will give you another comforter to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Why does Jesus tell us that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our advocate? Well, because the Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit unites and the Holy Spirit remains. Those are the three things we're going to think about as we meditate on the Holy Spirit this evening. The Spirit comes, the Spirit unites, and the Spirit remains. Let's start by thinking about how the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus, he will soon be returning to heaven, but he comforts his followers with these words, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So who is it? Who comes? It's the Spirit of truth. It's God, the Holy Spirit. It's the third person of the Godhead. This is the one who was there in the beginning when the heavens and the earth were created. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit caused all of creation to burst forth out of nothing. And then in Luke 1, the Spirit hovers again, this time over a virgin's womb. The angel tells Mary, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. A new creation is being formed. A second Adam who will bring a new creation on earth. And each person who shares in this new creation will be baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, the triune God. And then after Jesus returns to heaven, the Spirit hovers again at Pentecost, this time hovering over the church. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the age that we live in now. It's the age of the Spirit. Through the Spirit, the church is now empowered to take the message of Jesus to the world. Through the Spirit, a new community is being formed in the image of Christ. That's us. So what does it mean to say the Spirit comes to us? What's Jesus promising when he says in John 14, the Father will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever? Well, friends, it's nothing less than God himself coming to us. Yeah, if you've been in church for a while, that's kind of familiar. Think about it though. It's God himself. Not just coming to be with us. Jesus adds in the very next verse, coming to be in us. God in you. It almost sounds blasphemous, doesn't it? The God of heaven in us as we eat our breakfast, in us as we sit on the toilet, in us as we scroll on our phones. It's hard to fathom. This bursts apart any small thoughts that we might have of what it means to be a Christian. Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And this challenges the teachings of those who say that the Spirit is not God himself, but more like a force who comes from God, something impersonal like electricity or caffeine, perhaps. But is the Spirit's coming, is it just God sending zaps of spiritual energy down from heaven? No, it's God Himself coming down to live in us, to be with us, Jesus says, to help us, to be our advocate, our comforter, our helper. Now, it's hard to find the best translation for that Greek word, parakletos. Parakletos. Comforter captures the idea of bringing peace, hope to the struggling. Helper captures the idea of someone coming to our aid when we're in need. Advocate captures the idea of a mediator or an intercessor, someone who stands on our behalf and defends us. Ideally, we'd find a way to hold it all together, I think. To think of the Spirit both in terms of his tender nearness and his magnificent strength. So tender in the way he draws near to us, and yet so strong that the world was made through him, and the church, the worldwide church, now marches forward through him. It's a simple point, but how spectacular that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Isn't this just what you need to remember right now? Isn't this comforting? Perhaps you're not yet sure what it means, really, to be a Christian. Perhaps you haven't yet made that leap of faith. If so, we're really glad you're here. And I want to encourage you to think about what it would mean to have the Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart. Where else would you find help and comfort like that? So the Holy Spirit comes. That's what we've seen so far tonight. But what exactly happens when the Spirit comes? What does the Spirit do? Well, this brings us to our second point. The Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit unites. He unites us to Christ. What good is it if a chef cooks a delicious meal, but there's no waiter or delivery driver to bring it to you? What good is it if there's a new drug that cures cancer, but there's no doctor to actually administer that drug to your body? And in a similar way, what good is it if Jesus died and rose again and now reigns in heaven if you and I are not personally connected to him? The famous 16th century theologian John Calvin put it like this: we must understand that as long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless. When we grasp this, we start to realize how vitally important the Spirit's work is. You see, the Spirit is the one who takes all the benefits of salvation and applies them specifically to you and to me. Without the Spirit, I have no faith to believe. Without the Spirit, I have no sorrow over sin, no desire to repent. Without the Spirit, I have no forgiveness of sins. I have no adoption into God's family. Without the Spirit, I have no power to fight sin, to resist the devil. Without the Spirit, I have no hope of walking that narrow road all the way to heaven. It is the Spirit who applies the miracle of salvation to the life of each child of God. How exactly? By uniting us to Christ. By connecting us to the person in whom all those spiritual blessings are contained. Think about it. How is it that we can be forgiven? How is it that you can be declared righteous? Your righteousness isn't just a certificate that God hands you, is it? No, your righteousness is a person. 2 Corinthians 5 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If I stopped being united to Christ for even a minute, my status as righteousness would immediately vanish and I would come again under God's wrath. So you see, our salvation is not something that God hands to us, like I might hand you a $50 note or a certificate. No, our salvation is a person, Jesus Christ, our righteousness, our life, our wisdom, our strength. If you want salvation, you need to be in Him, remaining in Him, connected to Him. Just like if you want to swim, you need to be in water. How does the Holy Spirit fit into all of that? Well, He is the one who makes our union with Christ possible, because who is the Spirit who comes to dwell in us? It's the very same Spirit who dwells in Christ, isn't it? The Spirit in Christ, the Spirit in us. There's really no difference between saying the Spirit is in me or saying Christ is in me. The Bible does it interchangeably. 1 John 4 says, "This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit." John 14, 20, Jesus says, "On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." So the Spirit comes, and when He comes, He unites. He unites us to Jesus. That's what the Spirit's work is all about. This is what the Spirit does. This is how the Spirit does that creating work, that new creation, that saving of souls, that growing of the church. He does it by leading people, leading the whole world to Christ. Helping people understand the truth of Christ, growing in our love for Christ, being empowered to obey Christ. See how Jesus explains this in John 15. "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father," Jesus says, "He will testify about me." Then again in John 16, Jesus says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that He will receive what He will make known to you." A lot of people don't notice my mum. They don't notice her because she's usually busy serving in the background. My mum's very humble, very servant-hearted. It's good she's not here tonight as I say this. She's usually there in the room, but she's not looking for attention. She's trying to make other people look good. She's trying to make sure that they have what they need. And so even though my mum is amazing, she doesn't usually get the attention. I think the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a little bit like that too. It's a vitally important, it's a precious, beautiful ministry, but He doesn't seek the limelight. He loves to point us away from Himself to Jesus. So how could you know then if the Spirit lives in you? You might be wondering that right now. Does the Spirit live in me? Like, do I need to experience a sort of a surge of spiritual energy and intensity? Do I need to perform certain miracles? Do I need to speak in tongues? How can I know that the Spirit lives in me? Well, the clearest sign that the Spirit is at work in you is that you're growing in your relationship with Jesus. Do you have any affection or warmth in your heart towards God? Any genuine love for Jesus? That's because of the Holy Spirit. Do you have any joy from knowing that God the Father has adopted you as His child? It's because of the Holy Spirit. Do you dislike how your sin offends God and long to become more holy? It's because of the Holy Spirit in you. Do you have any desire to take the good news of the gospel to people who are lost and heading for an eternity in hell? It's because of the Holy Spirit in you. So how do you know? How do you know the Holy Spirit lives in you? Well, look for signs that you're growing in your relationship with Jesus. And then, friends, we should seek more of this. Seek to be filled with the Spirit more and more, to walk ever more closely with Him, to let the God who lives in you rule your life. We cry out with the psalmist, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. How can we be filled with the Spirit? How can we drink deeply of God? It's not necessarily the exciting answer you're waiting for, because first and foremost, it's the Scriptures. It's the primary way that the Spirit leads us. Did you notice how Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, who will guide you into all truth? The Spirit fills us as we read and meditate on Scripture, as we hear the Word taught and preached. The Spirit takes Christ and makes Him real and precious and lovely. Takes gospel truth and it drives out the darkness. He gives wisdom so that we can live well in this fallen world. So Christian, can I urge you, don't become slack now that the Spirit lives in you. It's not just pop the Spirit in you and you're done. You can cruise. No, He's come to draw you deeper into Christ. Ask the Spirit to enrich your experience of Christ. Ask Him to make your times in the Bible electric and life-giving, stimulating. I presume that's why you're here tonight, because you want it. And God loves to answer that prayer. So we've seen the Spirit comes and the Spirit unites. There's real comfort here for us, isn't there? But now as we close, there's one more comfort that I want us to grab hold of. The Spirit comes, the Spirit unites. Lastly, the Spirit remains. The Spirit remains. Look again at that verse in John 14. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you for how long? Forever. A few verses later, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." In 2 Corinthians 1, Paul comforts us with this promise. "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." How do I know I will be resurrected after I die? Because I have the Spirit now. How do I know all the world's evils and misery will be gone one day? Because I have the Spirit in me now. How do I know that my war with sin will one day be over and I will be perfectly holy? Because I have the Spirit in me now. Doesn't that bring confidence and comfort and peace? There's not a single other thing in this world that lasts forever, is there? Nothing that won't flip and flop and fail you one day. But Riverbank, what Christ has achieved is certain. And it's not just certain in general, it is certain for me and for you, because the Spirit who has come has united us to Christ, and He will remain. I want you to imagine a drug addict. Maybe this is your own story. Helpless, hopeless, living in a rundown house, trapped in shame, despairing of ever changing. No one who comes near this person stays for very long. They try to help for a while, but the problems are too big. The mess is too messy. They grow tired of helping the addict who repeatedly breaks his word and falls back into his old ways. They all pull back in the end and and the addict is left profoundly alone. Now imagine if someone came along and befriended this man and moved into his filthy house and said, "I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving till you are back on your feet and you're in your right mind and you have your life back on track again. Yeah, I am going to challenge you. I'm going to hold you accountable, but I'm not going to leave. And when you're down, I'm going to encourage you. And when you're weak, I'm going to cook you a meal. I am here, and I'm here to stay." Imagine how good it would feel to find that kind of unconditional commitment. It's just a tiny glimpse of the grace that God has given to us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Grace to hopeless people like us who are incapable of turning our lives around on our own. Grace that says, "I'm here and I'm not leaving you ever." Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian woman. She helped Jews to escape from the Nazis during World War II. She herself ended up in a concentration camp eventually. But long before any of that, even as a little girl, Corrie wondered what would happen if the hard times came, if her faith was tested through suffering. She wondered if she'd be able to endure without betraying her Lord Jesus. So she asked her father about this one day. "Daddy," she said one day, "I'm afraid that I will never be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus Christ." "Tell me," her father wisely responded, "when you take a train trip from Harlem to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the ticket? 3 weeks before?" "No, Daddy, you give me the money for the ticket just before we get on the train." "That is right," he replied. "And so it is with God's strength. Our wise Father in heaven knows when you are going to need things too. Today, you do not need the strength to be a martyr. But as soon as you are called upon for the honor of facing death for Jesus, he will supply the strength you need just in time." "I took great comfort in my father's advice," Corrie said later. "Later, I had to suffer for Jesus in a Nazi concentration camp. He indeed gave me all the courage and power I needed." So I want to ask you as we wrap up, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe he's come to live in you? Do you believe he has united you to Christ? Do you believe he will remain with you forever? If the answer is yes, then you have discovered the source of all comfort. This comfort is beautifully summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 53. And we're going to read these words together as we finish. I'll read the question, and then if you feel comfortable, we're going to say the answer together aloud. Here we go. So, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, he, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. Second, he has been given to me personally, so that by true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. Let's pray and thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord God, in this season of gift giving, we thank you that we have already received the greatest gift imaginable, the gift of you, you in our lives, loving us, helping us, remaining with us forever. Oh, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for uniting us to Jesus, our Savior. Thank you that through Jesus and through the Spirit, we are brought into relationship with our Heavenly Father forevermore. Please, Lord, help us to meditate on these truths this week until they bring real joy and peace and comfort. And if there's anyone here, Lord, who has yet to ever receive the Holy Spirit, oh, may they do that. May they ask for that gift even tonight. We know that you will give it, Lord, through faith in Jesus. We thank you for these things in his precious name. Amen.